the second half of the Carol Burnett Show.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
I'm not sure that it's a good thing necessarily that that this feels like the warm blanket of sanity in my life when I open that microphone and I come in here. But my life is kind of frantic right now. And so the idea of being here with all of you, God bless you, listeners. God bless you, Rob and Josh, gives me a
and
feeling of
you.
Peace. That's disturbing.
No,
I've never
it shouldn't
really
be, Mike.
Looked at this show as something that gives me peace.
Mike,
ever.
I've worked with you pretty closely for a third of a century now. And you've had a checkered past. You've had good times and bad. You've had fun times and sad. And the one consistent in your life for that time has been the show.
Yeah.
And I know you've had times when you've been really borderline out of your mind, but the show can center you. I think the show is maybe one of the healthiest things in all of our lives, except for maybe Josh.
I think it's mental health. Well, Josh is younger than us, and he's got a lot of things going because that's what you do when you're younger. You do that type of thing. You know?
And I wasn't abused for 30 years.
Yeah,
that's true.
You guys in previous incarnations.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you, of course, have your God.
Yeah, that helps a lot.
We
put Mike in the middle, so it's like we're giving him a big hug every morning.
Exactly.
I feel that way, and today it is. It gives me a chance to share, and it gives me a chance to discuss what's going on. I like to refer to this as the saga of an overpriced lemon. In a land long ago, far, far away,
yes,
there was a formerly successful disc jockey whose income had diminished significantly, but he still hung on to some of the trappings of when he was a high-flying, very successful radio personality, and he decided that...
Like the old lady in Titanic, Mike. You're just living, yeah. your simple life, but you still have that necklace.
I still have it. I went off, and back when, things were not, I guess I would describe it as reality not crashing in on me and hitting me, I still thought that I could purchase certain things of a luxury nature that, would allow me to hang on. Were they brand new? No. But were they used? Yes. And one of them was a very expensive automobile that my wife had always desired.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I can get this. Simply by getting it 2 years older with 18,000 miles on it.
It is amazing if you just wait a year how much a car devalues.
I thought that I was getting the deal of deals. And,
did the salesperson tell you, a grandmother drove it, she only took it to the grocery store?
Yeah, and church on Sundays.
No, there was none of that. I think the greatest lie that this dealership told me was that is a lie. The greatest lie the dealership said was because obviously they had prepared the car for sale.
Yeah,
that the car had not been smoked in, and when you would hop in this car at the beginning, it was obvious the car smelled great. And then, and by the way, I bought this car when I was 80 pounds heavier, too. So one of the times when my wife was driving, I'm going to sneeze. There's so much dry air.
Talk about smoking. Now you're smoking hot. Remember, whenever Mike sneezes, 10th caller gets tickets to see REO Speedwagon.
Thank you. And when I hopped in this car on the passenger side and really smashed my butt down on the seat, all of a sudden I was like, smoke.
Oh.
Smoke came up from that smell of smoke,
like,
and I realized I've been lied
sponge.
To. And then
I'm sorry.
And then, and by the way, everybody's going to say, what car? I've talked about it before. It's from the British company Range Rover.
Yeah.
And back in the day, it was my car of choice for a while, and
you let me drive it once.
The reliability is let's just say suspect.
Was there ever a time early in the career of the car that it wasn't suspect when you depended on it? Like, let's say you...
No, there was not, actually. If I think about it, I took the car home, and I noticed that that when I would brake, I would get, like, a little bit of a wobble, and I had to take it immediately back.
Oh,
and they had to change the rotors on the brake, and they fixed the brakes. But I should have known at this point that it was going to be a journey. I've never owned a car. Go ahead, Josh.
Has it always been the same problem, or do you have something new?
Oh, it's always everything old is new again. I have gone through more repairs with this car than any car and spent more money on repairs than any car I've ever owned. And I think there are two factors here. I think that, sometimes when you buy used, the euphoria of the moment clouds your judgment and you don't realize that you're getting something that's crap. And then the second thing is the overall reliability of the brand, which I am here to say my personal experience. If I was filling out one of those forms, there wouldn't be a scale, one being worst, best, happiest, saddest. I would want to go further negative than the lowest possible negative. I would want
lower than the sad face.
I would want to be an F word in there,
Okay.
Would be what I'd like to put.
Now, going into it, I didn't know that they had a reputation for being finicky or reliable. Before you bought it, did they have sort of a reputation? The car,
the Honda is always
so highly rated.
I think they did, but it's a long time ago. It's a long time ago. That's what happens when you finance a car for 32 years. What's that?
The people that purchase those cars don't care because they've got the money to pay for all that.
That's exactly right,
Josh. What was the most unexpected left field or odd repair that you've had to do on this double R?
The most recent repair where we spent thousands of dollars getting the car back in shape. But it was described as, and now it will be bulletproof. Let me catch everybody up. I finished taping the show yesterday, and thank you Rolando. I feel like I goosed him for that, but thanks for the $20 super chat. A thousand more of those and I'll be in the clear. So here's the thing.
So get busy, Rolando.
I get a call. Mrs. O'Mara is off to get blood work for her routine physical, and she is I just go about my day. We tape the show.
Mm-hmm.
I do a few little errands around the house. I'm really just going through what is a normal day. The phone rings. I can't give you a time. It's middle of the day. And the phone rings, and it's Carla on the other end. She goes, I am effed. I am effed, effed, effed. She has called me from the previously mentioned automobile, and she had mentioned briefly that the battery low light came on first thing in the morning. And
odd.
And then she calls, says, I'm effed, effed, effed. She said, everything stopped. Everything shut down in the car, and she is stranded in a left-hand turn lane on the Tamiami Trail, just south of Bonita Springs, Florida. And
it's horrible.
So it shut down while driving.
While driving,
which
and
normally
she can't
wouldn't
go
be a
anywhere.
Battery issue.
What's that?
That wouldn't be because of the low battery.
No, when our car seized, it was because no one changed the oil for 10 years.
I don't think it's seized. I think it's electrical, and I think it'll be a fortune because it always is.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trapped in the vehicle because I financed it for too long, and the value has gone down. So if you got that, I wish I had a camera device where I could turn my head upside down. I know if I found it, I could.
I just got my truck back from the repair shop.
Oh, you did? You pulled the trigger?
I feel the exact same way.
Pull the trigger and go? Yeah, you have to.
I got screwed, and then because I look at the math and already under it. So
it's such a drag. And then the only ray of sunshine, and I totaled a car a long time ago, and I'm going to give them a plug again because they don't advertise, but I wish they would. I am very pleased and very happy with the State Farm Insurance Company. I am telling you, they've been good to me, and they've been hopefully good to you if you have them. And
they were so courteous to me when they canceled my policy. Yes. Very friendly. Yes.
Well, they were very nice in telling me they will not insure my home.
Okay. All right. Well, at least they let you know up front, right?
Yeah. So if you flip, apparently, if you flip your car, you're what they call a risk.
Right.
And they don't want to honor their payment. So, you know, we parted as friends.
Yeah. Okay. And my issue was I reported stolen goods that the movers stole when they moved me to Florida. And now they won't touch me.
Wow. Yeah.
Because insurance doesn't like it if you actually use them.
No. Well, in my case, I stole the car and got it replaced. So, you know, I'm happy with them, you know.
What was stolen in your move, Josh?
A couple video game systems and a drone.
A drone?
Like a big camera, like
a weaponized drone. A drone that carries warheads.
Yeah. Yep, it was
a religious weaponized drone.
So,
yeah, it drops Bibles.
The good news that I didn't even know back the last time I had a problem with a tire was that our insurance company, we have towing coverage. We have towing coverage on our vehicle, which is
a great
thing to get.
That's so smart, because if you have to tow once, it pays for itself for like two years.
It does.
So
good. Really happy with that. And so I said to Carla, I'll be right there. I shoot up the right. And by the way, she says, I'm across the, I'm right across from the sushi place. And she says sushi. What she said was sushi too. All I heard was Thai sushi. I'm across from the Thai sushi place. Now we have, you know, in this part of Florida, you can't go 10 feet without hitting a Thai sushi joint. So there are a lot of them down
here. She might have said, I'm near the nail salon in the strip mall.
She was very, in fairness to her.
Do you not use the phone tracker?
I didn't use the phone tracker. But I am... You know, my goal is speed to the rescue as soon as possible. And I heard Thai sushi place, and we have one literally right across the street. And that's where I thought she was. And then I realized after she said it to me, I said sushi Thai too, which is way up in Bonita. And at this point, I don't know why she left the house. I don't know where she went. I didn't know she was getting blood work. I didn't know. But I get her on the phone, and apparently she's got two other conversations going with the repair shop and the towing company at the same time and the insurance company, and she doesn't answer the phone. And I'm in the car in front of the wrong sushi place going, answer the phone! And then...
Question. On this Tamiami Trail, we've talked about it before.
It means Tampa and Miami, Rob.
Yes, it connects them, no?
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Are there mile markers?
Yeah. But I mean, but it was not, if I didn't listen because I was into rescue mode, and so it was my mistake. But as soon as I reached her on the phone, she says, no,
markers are not helpful.
They're not.
Mile markers suck. No one pays attention to it. You always break down in between two markers, and you have no clue.
Amen. I agree.
Carrie broke down very close to one, so it proved helpful. But then she also sent me a pin.
But to me, mile markers are, you know, you get lucky, you're right on top of one if you don't. But she, as soon as I get her on the phone, she tells me that I got the wrong joint. I know exactly where she is. And I head up the road, and it's a lot further. And then I see her on the left with the flashers on. And I think the line was, I was surprised you got here so quickly. That was a win. That was a win. And
Josh, you're mechanical. If it was an electric issue, would the flashers work?
No.
Okay.
No, if the battery's dead, the flashers would not work.
But it did get a low battery indicator.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't think your car would just shut off, because I thought once you start the car, the engine would recharge the battery.
Exactly, the alternator.
Here's the thing. I think that we will find information out perhaps today about this this situation, but there's another wrinkle that I haven't even gotten to yet.
The
luckiest car in the world.
What is this wrinkle?
And the thing is, I said, can you stay with, do you have to stay with the car? She said, no, I don't. They told me that they'll call the towing company, leave the key in the console, and the towing company will come pick it up. We are off, and what's going on at this point, midday? I forgot if we picked our kid up together or I took her to work. That's what I did. Okay. I took her back to her shop. That's what it was. and so much going on. I mean, the schedule and everything. I thank God for drugs. Anyway, getting back to where I was, the day progresses, and I pick my son up, and I'm not picking him up until later because he's going to be at the baseball park where he's having tryouts for his school team. And in the meantime, I get a phone call from Carla, and she said they picked up the car. Then maybe a half hour later, I get another call from Carla, and she says, "You're not going to believe this."
Oh God!
So they pick up the car.
What is her exact tone when she says, "You're not going to believe it"?
Like a good or bad?
Almost amused.
Because
you know, you have to give in.
You know when the bathtub in it falls through the floor?
Yes,
in the money pit.
The money pit. Yeah.
Remember when Tom Hanks goes?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's kind of where she calls me and she says, "You're not going to believe this." I said, "What?" She said, "I just got a call from the towing company. They got the car to the repair shop." But in the back, I think when they were lowering it, the cable on the tow truck snapped, and the car fell off the tow truck into a ditch.
Oh, I think that's a win for you. I think that's a win because now you got to deal with the tow insurance.
You know it won't be enough damage. You know it won't be enough damage to
and they'll figure out a way to
slate.
And they will also figure out a way to blame you. Somehow they will. They will.
No, they're on the hook. They've admitted blame. Of course, it's their fault. They were insured. They were a tow service sent by an insurance company. Mm. You couldn't. Technically, you know, I hope both axles broke. I hope something. Right. I haven't seen the car. I hope that the car caught fire after it landed in the ditch.
Wouldn't that be something if it went to the ditch and it blew up like a Hollywood car rolling down a hill?
I couldn't. My luck could not be that good.
Could they just call and tell them I was just having it towed because it was low air pressure?
Exactly.
It was fine.
So, look, I don't know. I just don't know. I just know that that's where this car is at this particular juncture, and it is the car from hell. You know, you
where
really
was it towed to? A dealership or like
God,
a guy?
No, I haven't been to a dealership with
that
car.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
3 years.
Go ahead. I know someone who had a car like this, and they just took it over onto the Eastern Shore, down to a nice farm road. Pulled over to the side, broke the windows, set it on fire, and then reported it stolen.
That's
and went
you're
away.
Describing insurance fraud. That's yes. What you're.
Yes, it was not me.
Right,
but
that's funny.
It might be
I would imagine. I would imagine a decent investigator would probably get to the bottom of that. Really, you know, this is not. I think. Wouldn't you think, as far as crime is concerned? That might be crime that's attempted by usually normally law-abiding citizens.
Yes, I think everyone is tempted to do that. It's one of those things.
Well, you have to be at the end. You've got to be at the end of your rope, though, to break a window and set a car on fire.
You know where my rope is?
Where's your rope?
My rope is somewhere just before let it get repoed and doing what Josh suggested. That's it.
Oh, dear.
But. Now
your
it's
rope snapped when it was being towed.
That's right. It's a bad rope.
I wish it was going 70 when they when the thing snapped. You know,
yeah, kill four people on the
by
highway.
The way, I don't know. Here's the thing. This is when you don't care about a car. I don't know if it was at the repair shop by the time the thing snapped, but I would assume they're lowering it off or getting it off.
Yeah,
or if it happened on the road close to. You know why I don't know? Because I don't care. I hate
it almost
the car.
Has to be on the road, Mike, because if it ended up in a ditch, your finer dealerships and repair services are not surrounded by ditches.
Yeah, but there are ditches surrounding
ditches
where
everywhere
this is in an industrial area. So, yeah, there are ditches everywhere. You know,
every shopping center has a ditch around it because it deals with the water.
Yeah, I forgot Bonita Springs is the ditch capital of the world.
So I don't know. We are now at the waiting game. It's getting appraised as far as what the damage is concerned. The miracle of miracles would be the car, you know, it's too expensive to repair. But at that point, I don't know what the end game is with the insurance at that particular point. But obviously, you know, the car, if it's not totaled, I have to get it repaired. I just don't know. And by the way, you know what's going to get in the way of this whole thing? That pesky honesty. Because at this point, yes, you're going to get the repair company that's going to have to look at it and say it costs this. And, you know, but I hate it. I really would love to blow it up. Yeah,
you have your health.
I have
your family.
I do.
This is
Rolando,
just...
Rolando, that's a funny joke. Was it camel towing?
No.
What a great name for a tow service, though.
They could set up by masturbate and tackle.
Camel towing. Yeah.
But, you know, it is, I know it seems insurmountable right now, and I've been there. But you get through it, you'll be okay. It seems lousy. It really does. Maybe this is just the way of getting this car out of your life.
Yeah, if you are researching vehicles, research reliability. Because, I mean, if you're going to have a vehicle, as I am now, for long periods of time, you want to have a vehicle. And these are notorious for their lack of reliability. Are they pretty? Are they fancy? Are they luxurious? In all models, they are. Going way back to the, you know, 90s, they're good. The 80s, they're good. But they're, you know, as Scoob says, they're crapola. They are crapola. And I do not have any more information about it.
Did you not drive one in the war?
Yes, I did. I don't tell this story.
And I think it's time that you tell this story.
All right. In the I was stationed in the UK at the beginning of WW2.
I remember.
And I was tasked with the Queen visited our base.
She was a goodwill gesture
towards, and I was tasked with driving her around in a range. This was Victoria.
This
is Elizabeth, and I was tasked with driving her around in the Range Rover. And
this is why you named your daughter Elizabeth.
Yes, and my other daughter Catherine.
Right.
Queen Catherine and Queen Elizabeth.
That's right. Okay, but so, Queen Elizabeth got all the press.
All of this, here's the thing. All of this doesn't matter because I'm going to enlighten you as to something that's worse than a car blowing up, that's worse than getting injured in some way. Mm-hmm. It's worse because it's on the way. Carla is now freaking out about a new virus from India. Have you heard about this one?
A computer virus or a health virus?
A health virus.
I've not heard about a new Indian
the
virus.
The Nipah virus, NIPAH, from India. The Nipah virus. No vaccine and about 75% fatal.
Where did she hear about this? I mean, is it...
Da News.
Da News, but I mean...
when everybody gets their news, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're looking it up now, folks. They're scrambling. Nipah virus. 200 people have been, I think, quarantined in India, and this one is, they say it's contained, but it's very dangerous, and they don't have a vaccine for it.
It says it's from contaminated foods.
You get it from bats. There are those
That's the old one, Mike.
No.
Wet market.
This one you get from bats.
It says, oh, I told you bats are bad.
It's exposure to bats or contaminated food, particularly date palm products. Like date palm juice or sap?
Date palm juice?
Yes.
Must be an Indian thing.
No, I think you used
don't,
to
you
use
drink
date
that
palm.
Every morning?
Didn't you used to use date palm juice in American University?
Now they think you can now get it human to human.
Upstairs to have a big glass, a brimming glass of date palm juice. There you go.
So this it's bad delicious. Food or bats? Now, I've always hated bats. You know this. And this is, are
Nipah virus.
Is it bats biting people or are they eating the bats?
I don't, you know what? I do the best I can, but I've come to you without that information.
Because, you know, Mike, a bat is famous for laying eggs in your hair and you go crazy trying to get them out.
Yeah, that's your old wives' tale, but this is really a
animal born. Oh, I thought they always got tangled in your hair was the problem with bats.
Here's the thing. It sounds just like COVID. You know why? Because all that's the way COVID started, with no information.
Exactly.
And very scattered information about what it was.
But even before COVID, we had things like this, where a disease would pop up on the other side of the world.
I'm not going to listen to you on this subject. Your people, I know your people who say poo-poo. Your people who were down here in Florida where hundreds of thousands of people were dying and they were at, like, they were at tiki bars, licking the forks. That's
remember Spring Break? Spring Break of 2020? Yeah, that was all his people.
Yeah. They were out the there going, I don't care. I don't care. I had it. It only lasted 3 days. It's like the flu.
It's like a flu.
It's just a code.
Mike, when Carla was driving your automobile yesterday, did she have any date palm juice in it?
Well, she's been on a new regimen, and you got to get the date palm. It's really hard to do because, you got to climb a tree and get the dates. You have to climb a palm tree with a date.
Yeah, you do. You have to get a date.
I don't even know. What is date palm juice?
It's some type of nut juice.
I'll give you some kind of nut juice.
I think it's a tree nut.
Oh, did you know, Josh?
Hazelnut. Brazil nut.
Macadamia nut.
Peanut.
And that's when she went crazy when I said peanut.
Cashew nut. Hazelnut.
There's your juice.
Oh, my. Oh, there it is. All right. Oh. Date nut juice.
You know, it's funny. I had to Google a picture of a date yesterday, and I'm always amazed how much they look like cicadas. They really do, don't they?
Google pictures of my dates all the time.
Well, just, you know, that's the first stage. I have to use dates in the fruitcake. I'm not a fan of dates.
Yeah.
But
what are dates are dried up what? No,
they're dates.
Dates are dates. They're very popular in Mediterranean cuisine.
And they're sweet. I usually buy them chopped so I don't have to look at their cicada-like bodies. They're very hard to chop because they're sticky.
Okay. All right. What do you put your chopped dates in? What's that? What do you put?
Fruitcake, Mike. Remember the stuff you love?
Do you get those separately? Do you buy the...
Of course. All fruit is bought separately, yeah.
I thought you got them all like in a group.
No. You buy cherries.
What do they call those things? Those colored things you put in there.
Oh, citron is in there, and that's just dyed.
That's like a candy thing, right?
Well, it's a candied Asian citrus. It's actually the grandfather of all citrus fruit, the citron. And what they do is they cut it up and they candy it. But then there's cherries, usually red and green.
Can't say anything. When he brings up the fruitcake, I'm done. I have nothing to counter that with. I thought it would be something else.
Two colors of cherries, three colors of pineapple, dates, raisins that are soaked.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's important, but I just don't like them as
well. It doesn't matter what's in your fruitcake if we're all going to be, getting pneumonia.
Remember
and dying.
The date.
We're getting, you know what kills you with this virus? Encephalitis.
Now, we have seen this virus before. There was an outbreak in Malaysia in 1998.
Okay. So they got to contain it.
And they started testing the vaccine in 2020.
They're screening at airports now in Asia. They are. So
this is the real deal. Yeah.
You don't poo-poo this. So be afraid. Be very afraid.
Mike, if you remember back to Raiders of the Lost Ark, it was a date that killed the monkey. The monkey, they had poisoned the dates on the table that they were eating, and the monkey ate one of the dates and died.
What are you referring to?
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
Do you just come in here? Let me ask you about doing this show. When you come in here, I'm kind of like preparing like a series of things that might be interesting. But and you do too. You do. Hold on, somebody's calling. Sorry about that.
Uh-oh, it's the encephalitis hotline.
Sorry about that. I have to say this. Do you come in here and have like feel as though you need to release the things that are just in your brain rattling around?
Mike, I wish I could hold them in. But yeah,
you have to share.
I do.
You have to share every.
And I do. And I try to make them brief if I can.
It's a form of showing off is what it is. Like, look how smart I am.
No, it's a form of mental illness is what it is.
All right.
It's useless knowledge.
It is. Everything I know is useless. It's so true. It never proves useful. Ever, ever, ever.
Oops.
But also the notion, I know that there are people in my age bracket particularly that know Raiders of the Lost Ark back and forth, back and forward. They know the movie.
Okay.
So when I hear dates, I think of the dead monkey.
Exactly why I don't eat dates.
Thank you, John.
But I just remember NIPAH, just keep your ears open about this. So in case anything happens, we will be aware of it and we will be fine. So all in all, I think
pretty good Friday.
No,
or Monday.
And in the meantime, the hypocrisy gift arrived, and I put it together and did a nice job with that. And there were boxes, and so this morning, because there's only one car, I am responsible for getting the trash out to the sidewalk. Getting my son ready and up in the morning because he's got a test today, and then he's got tryouts, and then he's got a scrimmage. His schedule is out of it. And I'm responsible for getting Mrs. O'Mara to her workplace because she has to be in early because she's got somebody coming in here. So look, being busy is a blessing, in my opinion, being busy. But today was bat-ass. And here's the thing, and I'll wrap it up with this because this is funny.
Okay.
And if she's listening, I'll be in big trouble. Big trouble.
Well, I know she's not listening in her car.
So I get, I wake up at 4:45 a.m. That's what time I'm up, and I'm up because the mind is going. It's school. It's his schedule. It's taking her to work. It's getting the trash out. We've got a giant cardboard box. Yes.
I just want you to know that she has piped in, and she is listening.
Oh.
If you want to perhaps modify the tale you're about to tell.
Yeah, okay. The only comment is Mike.
All right, let me see. Carla, what time is your first client? I'll call you if your first client is, you know, going to be later, like 10 o'clock or something. But anyway, so I get up in the morning, and I've got an app on my phone for the car that actually warms up the car. And the car's outside because I was putting the bike together in the garage. And it's all, you know, there are tools and there's plastic. I don't want to say theirs. There are plastic strips from the packaging, and it's all over. And that has to be tended to.
Are you wearing your greasy coveralls when you do it?
No. Wearing warm clothing because the split is broken in the garage, so that there's no
heat. Oh, you never mentioned that?
Yeah, that's broken, too. We'll get to it. We have a broken window baseball outside. There's a list of stuff that's never going to be fixed until I'm dead. And
but everyone's got a list of things on their home to
exactly.
To work on. We always have lists.
Now, Josh told me that I can call from this phone.
Yeah, just plug the wire in.
Yeah,
you've done it successfully before.
All right. Oh, I have to plug the wire in.
Yeah,
that's the preferred way. Yes.
What's at the top of your list, Josh, at your house?
Oh, my list is like 30 things long. Yesterday, it was hang up some hooks in the bathroom for towels.
I have to put up hooks too.
I put that off for way too many weeks.
Mm-hmm. So I have to. We have the ceiling is still needs to be repaired in the powder room from a tub leak many years ago.
I bought a new house, so all my fixes are like improvements, not.
Carla, please answer your phone.
My house is 25 years old, so everything's breaking at once.
Right. No, I have a cabinet sitting here next to my desk. I'm supposed to put together.
Hello.
Hey, can you hear me?
I can.
Can you? Let me see if you can hear Rob. We're trying something new. Rob,
hi, baby. How are you? Hello?
No. Hold on. Oh. Say it again, Rob.
Hey there, Carla. It's Rob Spiewak from the Mike O'Mara Show.
Can you hear Rob now? Okay. Let me ask you something. When's your first client?
10.
10 a.m.? Okay. I have to tell you, you know how this morning we got into a fight because I warmed the car up, and then you wanted to go in and get a blanket, and I didn't realize you were getting a blanket for Michael's scrimmage later on tonight, and I thought you were getting it to have in the car, and I just figured out how to heat the car, and I got mad because I wanted you just to get in the car because I had surprised you, and then you got really mad because I yelled at you about just getting in the car without the blanket, and you were mad all the way to drop off Michael and all the way to me dropping you off?
Yes.
These answers are awfully brief.
They're clipped is what they are.
Yes, they are, Mike. That's a good word.
Yeah. Why did you say Mike when you wrote to me? Why did you?
I said Mike because I wanted you to watch yourself.
In what way do you want me to watch myself? Are you?
You better behave yourself.
What are you eating?
I'm eating an egg.
Okay. All right. Here's the thing.
She's eating an egg.
She's eating an egg. How do
I? So you got mad about a blanket?
Wait a minute. She can't hear you. I wish she could. I really do.
Do you think the egg is raw that she's eating?
I don't know. Okay, how did so she you know, like her you know how I apologize profusely about yelling, but I really just wanted to surprise you with a warm car.
Yes.
You were just angry that I yelled about the blanket and the car didn't matter.
Yeah.
And it was a terrible morning, really terrible, horrible.
It could have been worse.
Yeah. Well, of course it could have been worse. And so anyway, an onward and so forth. And then do you remember when I didn't share something with you that I've got to share with you right now. Remember when we got to your office?
Yeah.
And remember you were having trouble finding your keys?
Yes. Where are they?
Do you know what one of the things was for figuring out how the app on the car will control the car? I had to do it with two keys. So I had to reach into your purse and get your keys. And I was Oh, no. Hey, stop.
Wow.
Stop it.
That was misplaced my keys.
I went into as soon as you found your key, I was relieved and I knew I was going to have to tell you later. And I'm telling you under the cover of the show.
Where did you put the key? You pulled the key from her purse.
I'm going to beat you up when I get home.
Rob, you're getting dates for dinner.
I am sorry, but that's why you didn't have your keys, and I was going to have to delay the taping of the show if this hadn't happened. So that's what I wanted to say.
Mike, you are just f***ing up all
Will
over.
Will you stop
all
with the language?
The
Will you stop with the potty language, please?
Sorry,
this has to be edited out.
Edit it out. Sorry.
All right. But anyway,
Mike, when you took the key, where did you took it from her purse? Where did you put it back?
This is Josh, and he never gets it. He'll just say, I just want to get her off the phone, Rob. That's what I want to do.
We can do follow up when she's gone.
Okay, I think that's a fine idea.
Thank you. Jesus Christ. All right. So anyway, look, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Do
I'm sorry.
Do better.
I'm sorry. You do better.
You do better.
Bye.
Bye.
There she goes. She's gone. You're killing me, Rob. I'm trying to get her off the phone.
Mike, Jesus I was trying Christ. To say, where did you put the keys when you put them back? Because if it's back in the same purse.
That's the whole point.
Well, does she have them? She doesn't have them.
She didn't have them. They're out there next to my chair.
Okay. All right. I get you now. I was unclear.
Is the O'Mara family motto, you do better?
Do better.
Do better.
I think the motto is you do better with the you underlined.
No, I think I think it's have an egg. Eat an egg.
Well, Mike, who doesn't love eggs?
Eat an egg. It'll make you feel good.
You do better.
This episode is sponsored by Kalshi, the largest prediction market in the United States. Kalshi lets you trade on real-world events, peer-to-peer, instead of playing against a sports book. Kalshi is available across the country, including California and Texas, and it's a really fun way to put your predictions to the test. So here's how it works. You buy a yes contract if you think something will happen, or a no contract if you think it won't. So if you've got an opinion this weekend, like will the Seahawks win the big game this year, you can choose yes or no and trade on it. And you're trading with other users similar to buying and selling stocks. You can jump in and out of your position at any time to lock in a profit or cut your losses. Kalshi also offers combo trades where you can connect multiple predictions across different events to increase your potential payout. In short, Kalshi is where you put your money to where your prediction is. So download the Kalshi app and use the promo code SB60. When you deposit $10 and make a trade, you get your $10 back. That's promo code SB60 on Kalshi.
Nausea. Yes. Nausea. Shut up. I'm in control now. And you can be in control too with Relief Band. It's the original anti-nausea wristband, clinically proven, drug-free, and doctor-recommended. It stops nausea from motion sickness, migraines, anxiety, hangovers, morning sickness, chemo, and more. I know it. I've used it. I've been out on a boat with it. It works. It's amazing to me that without drugs that they can actually have a product that works this well to prevent nausea. You strap it on your wrist, you adjust the intensity, feel the relief kick in fast, zero side effects. The new Premier Plus Relief Band, this model goes even further. It's got smart skin sensing technology. It's got a built-in digital clock, next level nausea control. It sounds too good to be true, but trust me, it works. You will love this device. And if you're somebody who has motion sickness, if you're somebody that's going through any medical procedures that gives you nausea, this, you've got to try this. It's doctor-backed. It's hospital-developed. It's life-changing. Calorie-free, too. But it still tastes delicious. No, it doesn't. You can't eat it.
No, you can't eat it.
If you want to cure your nausea problem fast, join the hundreds of thousands of people who are nausea-free with Relief Band. Right now, there's an exclusive offer just for Mike O'Mara Show listeners. If you go to reliefband.com and use our promo code TMOS, you will receive 20% off plus free shipping. So head to reliefband.com and use our promo code TMOS for 20% off plus free shipping, people. Something from this is going to make your Valentine's Day even more special. The stories have started from the retailers. Yay!
That's great. And as we said yesterday, remember, folks, that Valentine's Day is March 15th this year.
March 15th. Please don't forget that. Here's your chance to hit McDonald's for Valentine's Day and claim it's fancy. Are you ready?
I love this.
McDonald's just announced new limited runs of McNugget caviar.
Wow.
Yeah, calm down. I know
it's
exciting.
Mike, I think you have the proper sound effect for that standing by.
Oh, my God. Thank you for the reminder. I appreciate that. All right.
McNugget caviar, Josh.
McDonald's just announced the new limited run of McNugget caviar. It's really exciting. And now this thing hooked up. God damn it. I'm trying so many different things today.
Do you need to unplug your phone to make it work?
What?
You need to unplug your phone to make it work.
There it is. They're giving away.
Before you proceed with this, I have a horrifying thought. Yeah. Since McNuggets are made of chicken,
nope,
and caviar
wrong.
Is egg, it's not
it's,
just
it's real it's, caviar. It's real
oh,
caviar.
Oh, it is caviar. Okay.
They're giving away tins of it next Tuesday at McNuggetCaviar.com. Have no idea how they're trying to tie it into McNuggets, but if you don't normally enjoy fish eggs, you won't like this either. It's just normal caviar in a McNugget branded tin. That's it. It's regular caviar.
And I do not believe it's in a tin. I believe it is in the same sauce that you get, like the same container you get barbecue sauce or sweet and sour. A plastic with a pull top thing.
This is how they tie it together. They say that the salty, savory taste of the caviar makes it a great dipping sauce.
And I know that it's the best caviar if you're dipping chicken nuggets. Mike, what is your take on caviar? Even the good stuff.
I like caviar, but dipping a McNugget in it?
No.
I just like playing that sound effect. Yeah, that's all it is. They're not pulling the idea out of nowhere. It blew up back in 24 after a video went viral of Rihanna trying it. And I, of course, I base all my food decisions on what Rihanna likes.
I base all my automotive decisions on what Rihanna likes.
Yeah. Go ahead. Enjoy it. Let's see here. It says each caviar kit comes with a 1 ounce tin of caviar, a mother of pearl caviar spoon, plus creme fraiche, and a $25 gift card for the Nug Nugs, which is good luck.
Do you take the black caviar or the pink caviar, given a choice?
Black, of course, because
that's the most expensive, right? Yeah.
Yes, it's absolutely yummy in my tummy. Moving right along, it's time to place your Super Bowl bets. Now, we've got the boxes, right? How are we doing with the boxes?
They're about half sold.
Half sold?
Oh, you better hurry, folks. Okay.
That didn't happen last year. It's happening this year, so be aware of that. You want a box, you go to MichaelMaraShow.com, correct, Mr. Stewart?
Go to the fan club. Go to the fan club or email me.
Fan club. Yeah. Sorry about that. So anyway, place your Super Bowl bets. You probably already have. Sports have devolved into little more than a delivery system for legalized gambling. Mm-hmm. Americans will spend a record $7.16 $1.76 billion
oh,
that's on legal Super Bowl bets. Yeah, I was going to say
we don't have
million.
A problem as a country.
Oh, my no. God. And that doesn't even include the stuff that's under the table, which is just amazing. You know?
And I think the biggest problem is most of that money is probably students.
Yeah.
It's huge on college campuses right now.
Yeah. And they're all betting on the Seahawks, every one of them.
The American Gaming Association says, quote, no single event brings fans together like the Super Bowl, and this record figure shows just how much...
I hate to interrupt, but don't you think that the voice of the American Gambling Association would be a little more sleazy?
The American Gaming Association says, quote, no single event brings fans together. Or I could do it because I've been watching him a lot.
Yeah.
Because Michael's into Ultimate Fighting. I could do the Michael Buffer, who I can't stand, but okay. I could do the no single event brings fans together like the Super Bowl, but this record figure, it's time.
Wow.
Americans enjoy sports betting as part of the experience, but they add that it's important to choose, quote, legal regulated sports book. That makes a profit for the NFL. So
I'm betting on Robert Kraft.
Robert Kraft, hi. Hi. Yes, sir. The big game. Exciting.
I know you're under a lot of pressure, Mr. Kraft. Are you visiting any massage therapists this week?
I've given up that habit.
Thank you, Bob.
The mother of today's show host, Savannah Guthrie, is missing. You may have been aware of this story. She may have been abducted. Behave yourself.
I'm not going to say
that's
a word.
That's horrible.
It is.
Come on. 84-year-old Nancy Guthrie disappeared from her home in Tucson, Arizona, all the way to Tacoma, Philadelphia, Atlanta, L.A. Why did that pop into my head? Over the weekend, authorities think she was taken while she slept and did not go willingly. I guess they would only say that if there was some sign of something bad happening.
It's because she's not ambulatory, and so she probably wouldn't go out on her own.
And there were blood. There was signs of blood.
Wow. They added Nancy is, quote, of great sound mind and sharp as a tack. So this isn't a dementia thing, but she's not in good physical health. There's no word who may have taken her, but she's without important medications that could cause serious health risks. Savannah will be taking time away from the Today Show and will no longer be covering the Winter Olympics opening ceremony. Yeah, I love NBC. They don't say she won't be covering the Olympics. She said she won't be covering the opening ceremony. We got to make sure we'll leave the door open for her flying.
No. Yeah, I think it's more. It's reminding you the Olympic opening ceremonies this Friday night.
Yeah, on NBC. It is. There's some of that too.
It's even worse. Yeah. You're right, Josh. It's even worse. They're doing so. We'll keep. It just
does Matt
weird.
Lauer have an alibi?
Do you think this is for, could this be like a ransom thing that they took her mom?
It's probably, if it is a ransom thing, it's a dim-witted ransom thing.
And they would have asked by now for some money.
Yeah.
I would think so. So we'll keep our eyes on that story, let you know what's happening with that. If you've been yearning for a country music Super Bowl halftime show.
Yes.
Turning Point USA's All-American Halftime Show is probably the closest you're going to get for now. Hey, yes, sirree. The alternative to Bad Bunny. You don't need to watch Puerto Rican Bad Bunny. You watch our show with Kid Rock, Brantley Gilbert, Lee Bryce, Gabby Barrett. Yeah!
And Mike's special guest, Mrs. Guthrie.
Yay!
Yeah, Kid Rock's bringing her out.
Unbelievable.
There is a need for this.
In what planet?
I'll tell you exactly where you're going to see this thing. For 20 years, I ran church Super Bowl halftime shows, even before the Janet Jackson stuff. And for the church audience, I'd have to censor commercials, but also cut out the halftime show altogether. So to have something like this that I could have flipped to would have been helpful in that
then
situation.
Then I hope Kid Rock lets his balls slip out during the middle of this.
That's the whole
point is that it's supposed to be a family-friendly thing.
Sure.
Do you mean it's the halftime show is going to be family-friendly?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Would you ever let Kid Rock in your home? I'm just curious.
I wouldn't want my kids looking at him.
Yeah,
Have you seen his house? His White House replica house?
No, I thought he's got a mountain house that's got the world's largest deck.
And he made it look like the White House.
That you mean his little hangout place that's in mountains?
Let me find a picture of Kid Rock's house.
Because I did see Kid Rock talking to, I don't know, maybe it was that douche from CBS. I'm not sure, you know, now that
Pelly?
That's all. No, the guy, the Duke Hill, the Dookie Hill.
Oh, that guy, okay. I always thought that that Kid Rock himself was the world's biggest dick.
The you can watch America's halftime show on Turn.
Oh, no.
Unbelievable.
And you know what? It's not really White House-y as much as it is like Southern antebellum looking.
The All-American really halftime bad. Show on Turning Point. You can watch it on USA's YouTube, X, and Rumble accounts or on the Daily Wire. Real America's Voice. I don't know any of these things. Trinity Broadcasting Network. That sounds like God.
Trinity's a Christian one.
Okay, The National News Desk and One America News. It's not clear if it's live or pre-recorded.
Aren't you watching the game itself on Rumble, Mike?
Yes, I watch all my sports on Rumble.
On your iWatch.
Let's get rid. No, I'm not going to do that.
You can't say that.
If you want to change your life and be happier and healthier, have you tried locking yourself in solitary confinement for 365 days? Rob has.
I have. I'm in the middle of it now. Actually, I'm on day 420.
It's a legitimate question. There's a 49-year-old man on TikTok named Skip. Skip Boyce. Who has two syllables, has launched a project called The Isolation Year, where he's staying inside one room of his house without leaving, unless it's an emergency, for an entire year. He started on January 10th, so he's 3 weeks into the 365-day challenge. He says, the rules are simple. I do not leave the room. You will not eat pizza. My live stream remains active 24/7. I don't bring in outside entertainment. Or unplanned interaction. I live, sleep, work out, read, write, and spend my entire time here. He adds, this isn't about shock value. I want to create a controlled environment and step away from constant stimulation. Well, I would imagine if you're alone, you can still get stimulation.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, his life has been built on constant stimulation.
I want to reestablish discipline and rebuild habits around health, focus, and accountability. You probably spend more time alone in your home than anybody on this show.
Guaranteed.
Do you think it helps your mental health?
How about your because you know health? Why? Not my physical health. Nothing I do helps my physical health. But for mental
second
health.
Second time you've got me when I'm drinking something, damn it.
The thing about mental health is that now that I have an automobile, if I feel like I need to get out, I can get out. But for 8 months, I couldn't. And that's not healthy. Feeling trapped at home is not healthy. But the ability to get out when you want to and still stay home, I think it's okay. Yeah. How is this guy going to eat? Is he packing in like a...
I need you to blink twice, Rob, if you're being held captive. There we go.
Does this guy have food laid in? Or
he's got to do DoorDash and Super Chats.
Who knows? It doesn't say.
But he doesn't... He's not allowed to see anybody, he says.
It doesn't
say. No, he said no outside entertainment.
And by the way, I'm rooting against him for the worst thing to happen because he started a one-year challenge on January 10th. And you know what that says to me? He couldn't get his S together to start on January 1st.
Bastard.
He needed extra time. Yeah, he's disorganized. He's a mess. Skip, you're a mess.
Or he's going the TBS model. Start a little later so people tune in.
Oh, yeah, 7:35.
Finally, surgeons at a hospital in France were performing a procedure on a patient when they discovered a World War I shell inside the patient's rectum. Hey, I'm just the messenger. Naturally, the unexpected find caused panic, prompting an emergency evacuation. They had to call the bomb squad.
Sure.
And everything.
Yeah.
And no, this isn't some story about an old war injury. This happened last Saturday. The guy was 24 years old. He had been complaining of discomfort, you think, due to an inserted object in his backside. So, yes, he put it there himself. He didn't say why, but you can probably connect the dots.
Sure.
Fortunately, the bomb squad determined that the shell was harmless, but unfortunately, the guy is not in the clear. Officials are planning to charge him with some kind of weapons violation. It's unclear what he's facing, but whatever he is facing, he'll be facing it face down and ass up. Oh, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, sirree. Thank you, bomb squad. We appreciate that.
Oh, Mike, it is the country of love.
Yes, France.
France,
I should say. Now, we were talking about the TMOS store just the other day, and let me just tell you, and I'm speaking directly to you, you strap hangers. I've got a treat for you. You got to see our store at MikeOMaraShow.com. The price is insane. You can help the show. Please go there. Get all the good stuff. Almost all the TMOS merch has been marked down. We slashed our prices to make sure we have room for our new 2026 merchandise.
New stuff coming all the time. Oh,
might be yes. A new shirt this afternoon.
Ooh, you want to tease at all? And give
can I guess?
I made a little note in today's show.
Is it do better?
It's do better.
Do better. Get me that one. Send it to me. Send me the prototype. We're going to have, as Josh just mentioned, items with new designs. Be the first to grab a nice beaver t-shirt with Valentine's Day coming up. You need an I Love Mike t-shirt or an I Love Josh or I Love Rob. Can you give us an update on who's leading the charge?
Right now, Rob's in the lead.
Yes! Woo!
But there are votes for everyone. We all have sales.
Unbelievable.
You know, I asked Carrie if she wanted an I Love Rob t-shirt.
What'd she say?
No, thank you.
Let's see who you all love the most. Plus, hats, coins, auto accessories, towels, sweatshirts, Dermglow products, and, of course, Charlie's Choice Coffee.
Mm.
And remember, the best part, everything you purchase is guaranteed to be delightful, and it supports us. America's most beloved podcast. Hurry
up. Why would you want to do that?
And help the show you love. Just click store at MikeOMaraShow.com, the source for all things TMOS, official, authentic, and awesome. Thank you for your support. And by the way, my name is Mike O'Mara. My love can be bought. Let me love you, please. I'd love to. I would love to love you. That's the way it goes. Okay, boy, so much to get to today. I don't know where you want to go, Rob, whether it's disgusting things, the Olympics or Hewlett-Packard, or what do you,
I have a question about the Olympics that leads me to another topic. But is it okay or is it a major oversight that the Super Bowl weekend is the first weekend for the Winter Olympics? Two really big sporting events competing with each other. Is this an oversight? Does it benefit anybody? Is it a mistake?
I don't think it would be a mistake. I would think that would be with the rights, the rights that NBC purchases for the Olympics,
right?
And the rights that the other network. Fox,
who has the Super Bowl this year? Is it Fox that has it?
I believe it's Fox. I mean, it's
okay.
Hard to tell anymore with all the streaming services. I think it would be competitive.
I think it's stupid. I mean, it's like having two movie, like when they plan movie openings, they don't want to have them on the same day because they want each of them to have their own moment to shine. I would think it'd be better to delay the Super Bowl by 1 week. Then you also get President's Day off after the Super Bowl, which would be smart. And it's not dealing with the opening weekend of the Olympics.
Well, you'd have to ask the powers that be.
Super Bowl is also on NBC. And remember, the Olympics don't show anything. Olympics don't show anything live, so all they're going to do during the Super Bowl is tease.
Where are the Olympics? Where are the Winter Olympics?
Italy.
In Italy. Okay. So then, was that your question? Is that what you wanted to
talk
about?
No. The other thing I want to talk about is, while we're talking Super Bowl, the NFL, stop. You have enough.
We're such idiots sometimes. We're such idiots. Why would they do? Why would two networks do it? It's on the same network, for Christ's sake.
And what they started doing, I think, last Olympics or a couple Olympics ago, is you can watch all the different events on the Peacock app.
And so that here it is. It went everyone there. So the bottom line is it starts the same weekend because you'll be promoting
They work hand in glove.
Olympics on the Super Bowl.
Now I feel naive. There's a special, if you go to the Peacock app, There's a special streaming service all about Bob Costas's eye and whether or not he'll get conjunctivitis this year.
Rob is referring to the fact that 1 year when he was hosting and he had to take some time off from it, worst pink eye you would ever see. And of
they
course,
they even went, Mike, to the thing where they fogged out one of the lenses on his glasses.
It was so, so gross. It was disgusting.
And of course, pink eye, you know, anus to eye, eye to anus.
Exactly. That's it's the, catching.
The opening ceremonies are Friday at 2 p.m.
So
I'll be there.
Who wants to?
I imagine
that?
They're going to broadcast them at 8 p.m., even though they do place at 2 p.m.
Ah, so sit in front of the TV and get a, 4-pound bowl of pasta as big as your head.
Mike, if I fly down, could we watch together?
Let's do it. We always love it.
We do.
Ever since those little gnomes in Norway, we were 2 inches away from the TV screen. Isn't that lovely?
All right. Really, NFL, really you have enough. You control everybody. You have football on, 4 days a week sometimes? Monday, yes. Thursday, Saturday, mm-hmm. and Sunday? You don't need to take your show on tour. The NFL has announced that this season they will play their first game in the City of Lights, Paris, France. And it's going to be the New Orleans Saints that play a game in Paris. And you don't need to do that.
Well, that's not old. That's what they've done.
It's what the NFL wants. They want to go international. They've been playing in London.
I hate this. They don't need this. They already control our nation.
Exactly. Now they want to control the world. The NFLPA already has plans back behind on how they could see for a 4-team division in Europe.
Here it is. And this should be known, Rob. The bottom line is that what's the biggest competitor worldwide to the NFL? And that is soccer.
Yeah.
And so they want to have a worldwide presence so that they get it's promoting the game. I don't know why you're so upset about that.
Because they have everything already. They control everything already.
They don't control everything. They're not worldwide, and they want to be international. They don't have everything. They want to be international.
But I think Rob has a little bit of a point that people in America are getting tired of football being everywhere, and I think it's going to wear on them. I think you're going to see ratings go down.
I think as the football fan of the group here, I have to tell you that I don't get intrigued by the games that are in Europe. I just don't.
For 9:30 a.m.
For me, I look at it as we want to thank Dan Ware. Thank you very much for the $20 super chat hosted by Pierre Buck and Jean-Luc Aikman. Thank you very much. Yeah, that's good. By the way, you want to get your little line on right away? Send us a super chat. That's the way these things normally work. I was going to say this, that the games, when I see them over there, I always think it's a drain on the teams to have to haul their asses over there, And it just doesn't do anything for – I don't think it does anything for American fans, really.
And then you're sort of backing me. It's like, why do this? This is – if they're not gaining traction in Europe by having games over there, think of the cost and the expense. And it drives me nuts.
It's greed, Rob. It's greed.
You're right.
That's all.
Well, yeah. So they have enough.
The same thing. Mm-hmm.
Stop it. I don't care for it. This is funny too. Is that the NFL says that the one team that will be playing in Paris is the Saints, and they said, and we'll reveal the other team when we release the schedule, but. If you do enough Googling and research in Europe, you find out it's the Browns.
It's interesting that it only caught your attention when it was France. I'm just curious about that because, I mean, they've been doing this international thing year after year after year. You're late to the party on this.
Well, maybe I've just reached my tipping point.
France is your tipping point?
No, the fact that they're going to another they want me to get excited that they're playing a game in Paris. I don't care.
Yeah, all I know is one thing. For as long as I can remember, the French have been effing us.
That's right. And you know what? I always wanted
those walls taller.
Yes. I hope that Jimmy has a great time at the game.
Mm-hmm. So this guy, Linda says she was in Madrid to see the Commanders. American football is super popular in Spain.
Yeah,
so
I keep hoping.
Then let them come to us.
Hold on.
I keep hoping the Orioles get that draw for London, so then it's an excuse to go over there.
And watch He'll travel.
You will. Of course I will.
Baseball has to do it too. I have a dumb tip that is about as useless and idiotic as you could ever enjoy. But let me tell you about this first, because I'm very, very excited to say that the Podcaster's Warehouse is ready for you. You're looking at two people involved with the Podcaster's Warehouse. Me too. I've done stuff with them.
Yes.
They're fantastic, and they do stuff for me. It's pretty obvious that a podcast is the fastest way to share your mission, build trust, and show the human side of your brand. Every business has a story. Who's telling yours? At the Podcaster's Warehouse, they handle everything: gear, recording, editing, publishing, promotion. It's done. No tech headaches, no wasted time. You show up, the warehouse amplifies your voice. Listen, podcasts are the way of the future. They're the way of the world now. What am I talking about here? They drive results, stronger connections, real leads, loyal clients. Whether it's an in-house project, a tool to promote your business, or just you talking about the things that are important to you and seeing if it sticks to the wall. Every show is custom built for your needs with studio quality audio and video, plus social clips, thumbnails, and transcripts. The Warehouse handles all of it. Your voice, our warehouse. It's not a platform. It's your production team. Got part of their production team right up there. These guys right here can help you. They know what they're doing. It's fantastic. And they will personally care about your product, too. Let them build your podcast. Visit thepodcasterswarehouse.com to book your free intro. Call, because your story is too good not to tell. Call where?
Book your intro call.
Oh, don't. Sorry.
Call. Wait, hold on. Book your intro
Visit
call.
Visit thepodcasterswarehouse.com to book your free intro call. I'm sorry. I mess that up every time. To book your free intro call. That's it. So that's where you go.
We love talking to you, and I think that you would be amazed at the reasonable things we can work out to get your message out there.
Yeah,
I love when people get excited when we present them with a proposal. It's really rewarding.
I bring this to you simply because it's I'm not proud of how dumb this is, but it is. It's something I have. I rarely eat cereal, but when I do, I've been eating it wrong. And here it is.
Anally?
Next to the World War One shell, unexploded shell in my ass. This is important. One of the problems I had, I grew up with like cornflakes that you would sprinkle sugar on cornflakes to make them sweet.
Yes.
I am a sweetaholic. I love sweet stuff. And I have been in the past, I would even put a sweetener on a previously sugared cereal.
Yes.
So, for example, when the average person doesn't put a thing on their Frosted Flakes, I put sugar on top of mine.
Sugar on
That's
sugar?
Right. Sugar on sugar is exactly what it is. But fortunately, I've found a solution. Let me tell you. Oh, you're supposed to kick it up after that.
Mike, what is your solution? I'm sorry.
All right. That's okay.
I hope they've rolled out double Frosted Flakes.
No, here it is.
Super Frosted
So these
Flakes.
Are the sugary cereals that we had last week in the house. We did have Frosted Flakes, and we had Frosted Mini Wheats. And I always would say, this is not a revelation. I'm embarrassed to even share. I would always say there's not enough sweetness in there. Well, here's the problem. This is what I've been doing wrong forever. You put just enough milk on it. You don't over-milk your cereal. I think for years and years, we've all said...
Oh, it's so true with many things, not to over-milk.
But you don't want to over-milk it. Because then it goes numb. No.
How much milk did you normally put on your cereal?
2 quarts.
No, I would normally put I would take the milk, pour it into the cereal bowl so that it would almost cover the cereal.
Yeah.
And that's foolish.
You're making a soup.
It's like cereal soup, when in fact, and this was... probably one of the best bowls of Frosted Mini Wheats I have ever had. And there was hardly any milk left by the end. But the Mini Wheat crackers were saturated in the milk, and they were spectacular. Look, it was a revelation to me. That's what it was.
It's a silly question, but you're obviously using a soup spoon when you eat. You're not using a teaspoon, right?
It can be either. Or we because Carla I think bought you... these fancy heart-shaped spoons.
Oh, I just bought some grapefruit spoons. We really love our flatware. But the thing is
what
that
are grapefruit spoons?
They have like jagged edges on the tip so you can cut into a grapefruit. Yeah. Like, you know, so you don't have to go through with a knife.
Do you eat that much grapefruit?
You know what? I'm on a grapefruit kick for the past 4 months. I've had grapefruit in the house. I love it.
Oh, it's good for you. It's very, very good for you. I forget what there's one side effect, though, that doesn't grapefruit, isn't that supposed to make your fluids, some of your fluids smell better?
I don't know.
Pineapple.
Pineapple is that.
Okay. All right.
I know that after about 3 months of grapefruit, my dick fell off.
Stop. No, what are you doing? What are you doing?
I don't know.
Yeah. What does the flatware have to do with it? I don't
because
understand.
If you're using a larger spoon, you're going to get more milk with each bite, and that's going to reduce your
down
ratio.
The sugary goodness. No, but it's with Frosted Flakes.
Now, but I'm saying is that if you're using a bigger spoon, each mouthful is going to have more milk with your flakes. So you're going to have less milk at the end of the bowl.
I suppose, but the real solution is just not putting the milk in the bowl, putting limited amounts of milk.
Have you seen the split bowls where you put milk in the left, cereal on the right, and you dip your cereal into the milk and then into your mouth?
Could be even better. And it maintains that delicious crunch.
Yeah, I think you can find that in the baby food aisle, Mike. The split bowl.
I am regressing. This might be the beginning of me being in diapers.
Do you prefer? I wish I had one.
By the way, I'd like to commit to our audience. I'm the oldest member of the crew here. If I become infirmed enough to lose my functions and become incontinent, when Carla puts me in diapers, I will do the show in them.
Thank you.
But I'm especially not talking about just the show. I will take my shirt off and just be like a baby in diapers every day.
Only if we get the sponsorship.
And we'll do a full shot every single day. And I'll be on a stool. Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say, I want your legs to hang down like when Beck Bennett used to do the adult baby on Saturday Night Live.
Great bit.
Good bit. Yeah.
Good guy on Saturday Night Live.
I agree. Now, I'm surprised not at the Frosted Flakes, because that is a great classic cereal, but Frosted Mini Wheats, I think, probably offer more nutrition than the cornflake, because, you know, corn is really not good for you. Given all of that aside, what is your preferred cereal of the two?
Between Frosted Mini Wheats and Frosted Flakes, my favorite is Cap'n Crunch.
Yeah, me too.
Cap'n Crunch is pure sugar.
It's with like or without candy. Berries.
It's and I watched online, since we're talking about food, I watched an amazing peanut butter cookie recipe. The guy takes crunchy peanut butter and he calls it three ingredient peanut butter cookies. Let me see if I've got it right. So it's just the creamy peanut butter, a cup of creamy peanut butter, a cup of sugar, and one egg, mixes it all up, puts it in a little, those little ice cream scoops, and puts them on there. He said, the best you'll ever eat. I have not tried that yet, but
you
eat. But it's so simple, I'm dying to try it like ASAP. But with cars breaking down, I haven't had a chance to go into my kitchen.
Mike, I think you're going to be disappointed. Like the people that mash up bananas and call them pancakes. I don't think it's going to work. I mean, it might chemically work.
The entire video was well done, and it looked crunchy and crispy. And then there's another version where you actually put the soft peanut butter inside the cookie.
Oh, like an injection?
Yeah.
Wow.
And right next to the World War I unexploded ordnance that's there. Yes.
You know? And Mike, please be careful.
Are you a peanut butter cookie people? Do you guys like it?
One of my favorite cookies of all time is the peanut butter cookie with the chocolate kiss in the middle. I think that is a perfect cookie.
Well, step it up a little bit if you put the peanut butter cup in the middle instead.
Ooh. I've had those and you use a mini... You use a mini muffin pan.
Peanut butter fits right in there. Cookie. Yeah.
You know something? Mm-hmm. The best place to eat a peanut butter cookie, in the shower. Longtime listeners of the show will understand that reference. There you go.
Yeah, longtime listeners of the show just kissed up their breakfast again.
This episode is powered by Incogni, the bodyguard for your personal data. This you must know. Data brokers out there, they're sucking up your info, and they're unscrupulous. names, addresses, even social security numbers. What they do is they meet in a dark alley and they sell your data to scammers, spammers, unsavory marketers, all the creeps out there. That's why your phone never stops buzzing. Your inbox is chaos. Identity theft always around. Be careful. Data breaches climb every single year. Incogni hits back. They automatically remove your data from over 200 brokers, keep monitoring around the clock, and fight back when brokers push back. The result? You stay off their list, period. 4 flexible plans, protection for you and your family, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Incogni fits your life and locks down your data. The bottom line? You're a bottom line person, huh? Bottom line? Here's bottom your line. Bottom line. If your info is out there, you need Incogni. Check them out today. Use code TMOS at incogni.com/TMOS to get an exclusive 60% off an annual Incogni plan. Incogni.com/TMOS, incogni.com/TMOS. Take it away, Rob Spiewak.
All righty.
Hey, I like that. Some beautiful video.
Jerry Todd.
Oh, we're bubbling over, Mike.
77. WABC.
Bubbling over with.
I know you've been proud of Michael in his sports endeavors through his young life, and he's tried golf, and he did a little football. Baseball is his thing right now. Have you ever thought he would do good at an indoor sport?
He liked hockey back in the day. He's talked something about less, basketball.
Something less physical than hockey or basketball.
I think it might be the World War One shell
no,
squad.
No, that's not it.
Volleyball?
Mike. I think that snooker might be a good thing, although it might be too late to start him on snooker.
Meet the youngest snooker record holder the sport has ever seen. This is Jude Owens from the UK.
Why is she talking like that?
A young snooker fan who's already showing an incredible natural ability.
Jude at first hit a snooker ball when he was 2.5. But recently I did find a video of him hitting a pool ball just before his second birthday.
His stick is so much taller than him.
At just 2 years and 261 days old, Jude became the youngest person ever to make a snooker double pot in Manchester, United Kingdom.
There it is.
On the 1st of September, 2025.
Do you think when you see that, bad parents... I mean, what would live up? You don't at all.
No,
you don't.
Engaged parents. Parents that are totally into something. And what I hate sometimes, if it's like a real sport, and you get the dad that tries to low-key it all the time when the kid is just obviously a prodigy. And it's like, yeah, he does this. You can't help but be arrogant. It's almost like impossible not to be arrogant when you've got a son or daughter who's an elite athlete.
Oh, and it's an involved parent because that's a very easy thing where the dad's clearly into it and he could just keep the kid away.
But and a snooker table is huge. That's an investment. It's much bigger than a billiard table.
So my kid tried out for his school team yesterday and some of the parents from Little League were there too. And it's just like when I see him, I'm like, every time. I always think that because I do a podcast early in the morning and I'm the semi-retired elderly dad that I have a jump on the gun. Not anymore. Not in the world we live in. Not in the world.
No,
we live
not in the everyone works from home.
Everybody works from home. Everybody's there whenever they want to be.
I won't ask for any specifics, but after the tryouts, how was Michael's attitude? Was he pleased?
He had a good attitude, and I want to say 21 kids and 16 places. Going to be tough. Going to be tough because he is the younger side. He's a sixth grader. But by the way, the third baseman for the team appeared to be apparently 9 feet tall.
Maybe held back a year or two. Yeah.
Look, I love the fact that it's real coaches now that are all over the field. So they were out there. The varsity guy was looking at him. It was fun. I enjoyed it. And he was really happy. And he looked good. He looked good out there. He really did.
Good. I love that it went well because I know that was on your mind. So that's most excellent. Mike, watch out for turkeys.
Thank you. Wild turkeys are attacking people in the Janesville neighborhood. People in the area say the birds are chasing postal workers, blocking traffic, even going after kids. Our Nicole Herzog introduces us to the unfriendly new neighbors.
Hey, good lead-in.
From the DNR on how you can stay
well safe. Well read.
Well, yeah. Experts say wild turkeys flock together during the winter, which is why
Mike and Nicole Herzog is 3 feet tall.
This time of year.
Wonder if she's
but
any relation.
People in the area say this group
maybe
is more aggressive than usual, creating chaos around town.
Yeah.
A quiet aggressive street in Janesville. A new group of neighbors is starting to ruffle some feathers.
At first, I love wildlife. The turkeys were cool. You know, they brought, you know, life to the neighborhood. As it's developed, they've become a nuisance.
Hold it. Stop you know, it for a second. Yeah. Let's start again. You know when the idiot tries to be TV ready?
And, yeah. And, you know, oh, it's yeah. Like,
I bet if I say it brought life to the neighborhood, that'll yeah. get on the TV. Roll
or,
that again.
Yeah. Or it could be the reporter that's out there. First of all, they're done complaining that they got assigned to do turkeys. And they go out there and say, could you just say they brought life to the neighborhood?
The turkeys were cool. You know, they brought, you know, life to the neighborhood. As it's developed, they've become a nuisance. You know, they block traffic. They've caused accidents. They, you know, went after my mailman.
Lawrence Meyer caught this incident on camera.
What?
Wild turkeys chasing down a postal worker.
Yeah.
Our cameras also caught the flock chasing down a rental truck.
Mike, wild turkey has always been one of my problems. So
I go to
be
the
careful.
The reporter school of pronouncing clearly. It's always important to use great diction when you're talking about your turkeys.
Mike, I have a question for you. Did you like wildlife in the neighborhood before it became a nuisance?
Oh, it was fantastic. And by the way, those turkeys, just in my personal experience, much more satisfying than a World War One shell unexploded. gobble, you get my drift?
Takes a lot of training. We did not get a chance to air this yesterday. I just want to, it's a day late, but not a dollar short, handing out the Mike O'Mara Show A-Hole of the Month Award to the people at Gobbler's Knob.
Ah, here we go.
I want to talk about this cane. This there cane is handed down from president to president.
Yeah,
that's right.
My father once held this very cane.
Okay, show the
right.
rat.
My father once held this cane by the unexploded shell.
There we go.
And let's close with it, Mike. You know, you've had a bad day. You've
yes.
had, just like
yesterday.
Daniel Powder
today's
sang
fine.
It.
Yeah. Today's okay, yeah. except I fought with my wife.
You had a bad day. Maybe what you need is some good music to perk you up. This is available in most major retailers now.
Hey-Tel Records presents 25 Polka Greats, 25 of the greatest polka hits ever collected on one LP, Beer Barrel Polka.
They all sound identical.
Too fat polka.
She's too fat for me.
You can have her, I don't want her, she's too fat for me. Hey! Hoop-dee-doo!
And Mike, this is full of stars.
Played by the all-time greats, Frank
who stole
Isaac,
the Kishka?
The King, Myron Florin and others.
Myron
no
Florin.
Polka LP is complete
well.
Without the Six Fat Dutchman and the Lichten
Mike,
polka.
The Six Fat Dutchman!
What the hell is
the
that picture?
Polka. This is exciting offer. 25 of the greatest.
The tag is the best.
Be assembled on one LP, only $3.99.
This wonderful album available at all People's Drugs, Woolworths, and Sears, only $3.99.
That's how you got to do.
Pick up your greatest polkas right next to the unexploded artillery shells. Yes, sir.
Mike, we need six artillery shells because we have six fat Dutchmen.
No! Gotta get out of here. We'll be back tomorrow with a brand new episode. Thank you all for the super chats today. Go and get your t-shirt. Hi, this is Mike. I really would love you to love me. But, you know, if it has to be one of the other guys. C'est la vie. There they are right there for Rob Spiewak and Josh Soroka. Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Bye, folks.
Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Nice beaver.
The Mike O'Mara Show. TMOS.
Sunflower seeds.